Not too long ago, I prayed for somebody who was going through a physical battle. And I'm, you know, thinking, praise God, you know, healing, you know, here it comes. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. The person actually ended up in the hospital. And I'm thinking, well, you know, word about this gets out and nobody will have me pray for them again. The I expected there to be a manifested healing, and there wasn't. You say, well, Brother Martin, you got to give it time. No, I don't either. I don't want to play those games of, well, you know, sometimes healings take time to manifest. Well, I know that. I do know that. Because sometimes you have to keep confessing the healing, you know, over the whatever, until the healing does manifest. I understand that part. But I'm supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Now, when Jesus ministered to people, you know what happened? Healed right then. When they came to Him for prayer, sometimes He'd give them a choice on what they wanted Him to do. He would say, what do you want? And then He would minister. And not only that, I'll just kind of throw this out ahead of time. I sometimes think we pray too much. You say, well, how can you pray too much? Well, go back and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many times did Jesus pray for somebody to be healed? How many times did He say, oh, Father, heal this person? Not once. Oh, yeah, but He did it with Lazarus. Now, you need to go back and read that story. He said, Father, the only reason I'm saying this is for the benefit of these people around here. Because I already know what's going to happen. If I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, I need to restructure the way I pray. But what's happened is, over the years, we have been trained to pray by people who barely get any more answered prayer than what we get. But we think that's just the way it's supposed to go. Well, I understand this. I mean, I really do. And I'm not saying, well, we shouldn't pray for people. I am not saying that at all. I'm not saying stop pray for people. The whole thing about I think we pray too much, I said that for emphasis. Because it ought to get to the point, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. I mean, see, that's the direction we should be going. Until we get there, pray. You understand what I'm getting at here? So, you know, here I prayed for this person. And the healing didn't manifest. And if nobody had ever been healed when I prayed, then I would have just figured, well, you know, par for the course. You know, nothing ever happens anyway. But that's not true. Because, see, I prayed for people. And in some cases, there have been miracle healings take place in their bodies. There's some folks I prayed for, and in the service, I mean, right then and there, you know, before they lit the prayer line, the healing manifested. There have been people that have come and stood in for folks that weren't even in the service. You know, would you please pray for, you know, Uncle Rupert? You know, he's got gizmo disease or something like that. You know, and pray for Uncle Rupert, and then they contact Uncle Rupert and find out, well, he got healed. Wasn't supposed to get healed, but he got healed. So I've seen results. So I know it can happen. The problem is, it just doesn't happen enough. And I know that there are a lot of Christians, you know, it's been like that for them too. They prayed for people. And, you know, sometimes, man, you get results. And sometimes it's not just a matter of praying for people. It could be, you know, for anything. Whatever it is you pray about, sometimes, boom, man, you got results. And some things we pray about, we know the results really won't happen that instant, but we know they could happen within the next few days. You know, it all depends on what you're praying for. But sometimes, you know, it just never happens. And that can be really, really disappointing, very, very discouraging if you let it. And some people... Because we don't see this consistency in answered prayer. Some people will tend to dismiss it by saying, you know, well, if you had faith to receive, then you would have received your healing when I prayed for you because, you know, I'm super Christian. Well, maybe sometimes that's true. Maybe some people, you know, they just aren't in a place to receive. But then some folks, they dismiss it with, well, you know, it just wasn't God's will. Or just wasn't God's timing. And some folks even take it as far as, you know, well, maybe God's got a purpose for that person being sick. You know, or having their leg fall off or something. Maybe there's a purpose. Maybe God's trying to teach them something. And we become very, very good at making excuses. And at the same time, let's just be honest. Down deep, we wonder what's really going on. And there are a lot of questions we don't ask because, for one thing, we don't want to come across as sounding like we are, you know, doubters or that we don't believe in God. And so we don't bring these things up with each other. We don't want to talk about these things. It's almost like some of these areas are taboo areas that we don't want to address because we're concerned about how we will look in the process. Some of these things go unanswered. Well, the other night, I'm praying, and I'm thinking about all this. It's like, man, you know, some people prayed for him, boom, healed, you know, prayed for this situation, you know, phew, resolved. Then other things, it's like, never happened. And I remember thinking, I'm tired of not getting prayers answered. That's what. And I wasn't like, I didn't go boldly before the throne of grace and look at God and say, hey, I'm tired of not getting prayers answered. It wasn't an accusation. It wasn't a blame. It was nothing like that at all. It was just, you know, my thoughts, my feelings. So I'm tired of not getting prayers answered. And there was absolutely no inference, God, it's your fault. It's just, I'm just tired of it. I want to see people healed. You know, I don't want, when I pray for people, I don't want them to walk away and, you know, be the same or anything. I just, you know, I want to see things happen. I want to see things change. Well, why don't you go ahead and turn over to James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. So I'm thinking about all of this and I'm praying, and in my mind I'm thinking, you know, I'm just tired of not getting prayers answered. Not that I never get any answered, but I mean, I'm tired of not getting them all answered. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes you pray and you know, maybe you're praying what you're supposed to pray and maybe you're not, but when you're praying for somebody's healing, that's what you're supposed to pray. Because God doesn't want people sick. He doesn't want people maimed. He doesn't want people struggling with, you know, being locked up in a wheelchair. He doesn't want that. So I know when I pray for that kind of a situation, for healing to manifest, see, I know I'm praying the right thing because that's what Jesus did. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, as soon as I thought that, you know, I'm tired of not getting my prayers answered. I mean, I barely got that thought across my spiritual mental lips, if you will. And God spoke up and he had me look at this passage here in James chapter 5. Pick it up in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if any have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And the part that he highlighted and underlined and put in bold and everything else was the part there in verse 15 where it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then he started talking. And he went on for quite a while. So if I had to listen to it, then bless God, so do you. And this is Lesson from the Upper Room, number 41. So buckle up. Now, the way he was speaking this, it wasn't like it was just to me and me alone. It was to me and to everybody else who feels the same way, all right? He said, if you're tired of not getting prayers answered, and, you've got to emphasize this and, you're praying according to Scripture, then the variable isn't me, it's you. Now, when he said praying according to Scripture, what that means is praying according to His revealed will in His Word. You know, if you don't like your neighbors and you're praying, you know, God, let them die, that is not a prayer according to Scripture. If you're saying, oh God, I'm sick and tired of our president, you know, just let him die, that is not a prayer according to Scripture. If you're praying for bad things to happen to people, that is not a prayer according to Scripture. I mean, oh God, I just don't like my son-in-law. You know, have him and my daughter get divorced. That is not a prayer. I could go on with this. And he was emphasizing, you know, you have to pray according to His Word. So that right there eliminates a whole lot of prayers that people have offered up. And that right there tells you why a lot of prayers haven't been answered. So let's restrict this to all of the prayers that we have prayed that line up with what God has said in His Word. He said, if you're tired of not getting prayers answered and you're praying according to Scripture, then the variable isn't me, it's you. Too many Christians pray in hope, but not in faith. He said, you must pray in faith. Your prayers must be of faith. And when he said that, it was like I had this little mental image that, and I want to try and describe this to you. He said, your prayers must be in faith. Okay, think in terms of faith being a place. And until I am in faith, I am not praying out of faith. See what I mean? So I can be standing here and praying, oh God, oh God, oh God. And he's saying, yeah. But the moment that I get in faith, I am then praying out of faith. Now I've made a connection. Now something can happen. But if I get out of faith and keep praying, I've been disconnected. See this? And so he said, you must pray in faith. Your prayers must be of faith. I mean, that's what it says right here in James. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, at this point, everybody and their brother is going to say, well, I am praying in faith. Well, let's continue and listen to what the Lord had to say. So you must pray in faith. Your prayers must be of faith. Thus, you must develop enough faith for me to work with to bring about answers. The prayer of hope or a prayer of hesitancy availeth nothing. And as soon as he said that, I could see it. How that so many of us have prayed in hope, but we've not prayed in faith. What's a prayer of hesitancy? Okay, here's an example of a prayer of hesitancy. You ever gone to pray for somebody who's battling a physical sickness? And on the inside, you kind of think you know what you ought to pray, but there's this inner battle going on. What's this person going to think about what I say in this prayer if I pray the way that I know that I'm supposed to pray? So we hesitate to take authority in the prayer, and we pray a prayer that we think they will accept and be comfortable with, instead of praying a prayer that God will accept and be comfortable with. See, the thing with Jesus, He didn't care if you liked it or not. He did what the Father told him to do and said what the Father told him to say. Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I want you to see a verse here. I won't go through the whole passage at all. I just want you to see a verse, what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What all things? All things that the Father has ordained. All things the Father has stated. All things the Father has spoken. All things the Father has given that are recorded in His Word. All things are possible. Now see, you know, on the one hand we read that and it's like, yes, amen, that, you know, praise God, wonderful. And on the other hand, we think, yeah, well, except. Yeah, well, but. And the thing is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Said a little bit differently. If thou hast developed faith, or if thou hast developed thy faith, all things are possible. What are you going to do with that? Because that's what he's saying there. And then if you turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 11, in verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Well, what things am I supposed to pray? Whatever God said in His Word. Whatever He has promised. That's how I'm supposed to pray. And He says, look, if you pray like that and then you believe, He says, you'll have what you pray for. So we look at this and we give an opinion of ourselves. Well, I do believe. I mean, I do believe. I mean, really, I do believe. And I've had a lot of people over the years share with me, you know, I prayed for them and they didn't get healed. I don't know why God didn't heal them. Well, now, wait a second. He says right here, Jesus, your Savior, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's what He said. So then, if that's what He said, and that's a promise, then the one thing in here, let's take a look at this. Do I have a desire for something? Absolutely. I want to see, you know, Grandma healed. Okay, well, that's my desire. All right, well, you got a good desire. Have you prayed about it? Oh, yes, I prayed. I absolutely prayed. And you prayed about your desire for Grandma to be healed. I sure have, absolutely. Well, what's the next thing? Believe. Believe that you receive. Do you believe that you receive? Amen, I sure do. All right, well, when did she get healed? Well, she didn't. Okay, you had the desire. You prayed the prayer. But it didn't happen. So what's in between there? The believe part. The believe part. Well, He said the prayer of hope or a prayer of hesitancy availeth nothing. If you are not doing what is necessary to develop your faith, why do you think you have any? Listen to this. If you're not doing what is necessary to develop your faith, why do you think you have any? Now, please don't anybody answer that question. But think about it for yourself. Why do you think you have faith? Well, because I got born again. All right, praise God. You had faith to get born again. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We all had faith to get born again. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be in this church. So here we are, a whole bunch of people, live and watching and listening. We had faith, put it in Jesus to be born again, we're born again. All right, well, what about beyond that? Just because we had faith to get born again does not mean we've got faith for anything else. Is this making sense to anybody? I mean, after all, He said, if you're not doing what is necessary to develop your faith, why do you think you have any? Now listen to this. Agreeing with my word that it is true does not mean you have faith. And therein lies the problem. Jesus said, if you believe when you pray, you'll receive. Amen. That's right. He said it. It's true. Praise God. Glory to the Lamb. Okay. All I've done is said, I believe that that's true. But it doesn't mean I have the faith to bring it to pass. I'm telling you right now, this is a key on why a lot of people aren't getting their prayers answered. We absolutely will agree that the Word of God is true. Now, a lot of people don't even go that far. They'll say, well, yes, Jesus, Savior, born again, amen to all of that, but, you know, gifts of the Spirit, not for today. Well, see, we're not a part of that. We say, it's all for today. So, yes, we agree with God. His Word is true, but that does not mean we have faith. It absolutely doesn't mean. Coming into agreement with God that His Word is truth does not mean we have the faith the Word can produce. Well, let me continue reading here. He said, if you do not use my Word as a tool to spiritually ingest faith, it is not there. Very simple. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If we don't use, you, me, all of us, if we do not use the Word of God as a tool to ingest the Word of God so it can, you know, cause that faith to come, it's not there. Flat out. And preaching, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that preaching causes faith to come. No. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Whatever word I share with you, yeah, I mean, that can help as far as the faith is concerned. This goes beyond preaching. He went on and said, if you do not pray in tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to supernaturally work with you in developing your faith, why would you think it is truly developed? And then, you know, over in Jude, you know, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, when you think about it, this is so simple. It makes sense. You know, I can... What was it that... centuries ago, people on ships, you know, the pirates and the pilgrims or whoever, and because they didn't have enough green vegetables, they... What was it? Scurvy? Yeah, it would get scurvy. Okay. Now, I can take a potato and paint it green, but that doesn't mean I won't get scurvy. You understand? It's what causes the vegetable to be green that prevents the scurvy. It's not just the color green. Likewise, it's not just agreeing that God's Word is true. If I'm not taking the Word in, faith isn't coming. And if I'm not praying in tongues, then the Holy Ghost is not being allowed to help develop my faith in me. I'm not allowing Him to add that supernatural element to cause me to be built up on my most holy faith. Now listen to what else he went on to say. I'm telling you, some of this tonight is really going to mess up with a lot of traditions that a lot of people have held on to. He said, ending your prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, amen, does not guarantee results. Now that right there would get me stoned in some churches. But I'm going to read it again, just in case, you know, you... want to hear it again. Ending your prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, amen, does not guarantee results. Yes, you have been taught otherwise. But I say unto you, why would you think that simply speaking the name of my Son without the faith to back it up will get all your prayers answered? A lot of people think that the name of Jesus is some kind of magical incantation. You know, well, in Jesus... Well, I said in Jesus' name. It has to work out. I said in Jesus' name. Well, anybody can say in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we adjure you to come out. And that devil says, Jesus I know. Paul I know. Who are you? And that devil whoops the whole bunch of them. Rips their clothes off and kicks them out the house and they go running naked down the street. Wish that was on YouTube. Not really. He says, yes, that's what you've been taught, that when you say in Jesus' name, amen, it has to happen. But I say unto you, why would you think that simply speaking the name of my Son without the faith to back it up will get all your prayers answered? The very fact that you have prayed in His name so many times and not gotten results should tell you that more is going on than what a lot of preachers have taught. Let's just be honest here, guys. Come on. How many times have we prayed You know, and then, you know, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And then nothing happens, and we sit back and wonder, well, what's going on here? I thought it was supposed to work. I mean, Jesus said, ask in my name, it'll be given you. And so, okay, well, I am. But if we don't have the faith to back up our declaration and our prayer, why in the world should we think it's going to happen? This is a key tonight, folks, to why a lot of these prayers aren't being answered and why a lot of the people we prayed for, even ourselves, we haven't seen the healing come to pass. Just because you go to a church that believes in all of this doesn't mean you absorb it. It doesn't come from the pews. It comes from interaction with God. He said, you don't seem to understand that I want people saved, healed, and delivered far more than you. I want your prayers answered far more than you. But the fact that so many prayers do not produce the results of my will should tell you that something is amiss. Since I am God and I am absolute perfection, there is nothing amiss with me. Again, you are the variable. Remember, there is no variableness or shadow of turning with me, and my word never changes. So if He is the one constant, what is the one thing that can change? I mean, Satan's not going to change. He's a liar. I mean, he's Satan. He's never going to be anything but Satan. But what can change? Who can change? It's me. And you. And he went on and he continued. One of the biggest problems I see in my children is that they do not understand their authority on earth. Yes, my word does say that Satan is the god of this world. But if he truly possessed the power many of you believe that phrase implies, then how did my son accomplish what he did on earth? Now think about that. Well, he was the Son of God. Yeah, but it tells us that he made himself of no reputation, meaning that he set aside his deity powers and came to earth. Well, if he set aside his deity powers and became totally dependent upon the actions of another, that's what that whole phrase is talking about there in Scripture, then he was not dependent upon himself. He was dependent on somebody else. But look what he did. Listen, if Satan is so good that he can just come in and stop us, that means he can stop anybody who's not God, who does not have deity, self-reliant deity power in them. When Jesus was, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, man, some people so whacked out they teach that Jesus, when he was on the earth, his feet never touched the ground, that he walked about 2 or 3 inches above the ground everywhere he went. Weird stuff, man. Listen, you can't kill God, yet who died on the cross? So, he sets aside his deity powers, he comes down here and becomes dependent upon the Father, but the Bible says that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. And some people could say, well, there you go. He got anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. But then what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many more excuses are you going to come up with? And so he says, remember, there is no variableness or shadow of turning with me, and my word never changes. One of the biggest problems I see in my children is that they do not understand their authority on earth. Yes, my word does say that Satan is the god of this world. But if he truly possessed the power many of you believe that phrase implies, then how did my son accomplish what he did on earth? Satan does not rule. He merely influences and deceives people into doing his bidding and submitting to his control. That's all it is. Even the lost people. You say, well, now, hold on there, Brother Martin. If they're lost, they've got a sin nature just like the devil. He can just go in there and do whatever he wants. Really, if he was that good, he could keep the lost people from getting saved now, couldn't he? Now, how many of you was Satan able to come up and say, you're not getting born again? I don't care. Call in the name of Jesus all you want. It ain't going to work for you. You got a sin nature. You're bad. You're under my control. No. the sin nature is compatible with Satan as far as what the nature is, but the sin nature does not give him control over your life, because if it did, you'd have never gotten born again. And God said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What that means is, boy, get a hold of this one. That means even the lost people have a degree of authority over Satan. Meaning, devil, you may want to keep me lost and you may want to send me to hell, but guess what? I'm praying to Jesus Christ. I'm going to get born again. I'm going to get washed in the blood. I'm going to get redeemed. I'm going to get sanctified. I'm going to get delivered and I'm going to get set free. And there's nothing you can do about it. One of the biggest problems, I mean, as he is saying this to me, I'm seeing it like in a clarity I hadn't seen it before. We actually, I'll say it this way, we actually empower Satan in our lives by believing he has power. Think about that. Because as long as I think that, I'll give you an example. I don't even know if this example fits perfectly or not, but I'll use it. I remember one time I was 7th grade, whatever. There was this kid that was in 8th grade. Man, this guy picked on me and picked on me. And I never, you know, really got into fights. I mean, honestly, I was a wimpy kind of a kid. And I was afraid of a lot of people. I got picked on a lot. I mean, there were times, man, I was terrified. I didn't even want to get out of bed and go to school. I was afraid. And this one guy, you know, he kept picking on me and picking on me. One day in gym class, I don't know. I went back in the locker room and he followed me in and, you know, just picking on me and picking on me. Well, I just... You ever heard the term, I reached my limit? And something came over me. And I don't think it was God. But anyway, I don't think he was expecting this, but, you know, I don't remember everything I did. I just remember that I got him in a headlock and rammed his head into the locker and walked away. Well, I just wasn't good enough for him. About 10, 15 minutes later, he comes back. And I didn't want to get in a fight or anything, but he just, you know, started in again. And this time I got a double portion. No joke, I picked him up and I threw him down on the bench in the locker room, and he was laying face down on the bench, and I just beat on him and 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 beat on him. And my friend was standing there, and I saw my friend, his eyes were bugged out, his jaw was dropped down to his knees, he couldn't believe what was happening. Finally, I stopped. The guy couldn't breathe. He got up and he's walking like this. That's kind of gross, isn't it? That's what he was doing. My friend said, I've never seen you do anything like that before. I said, well, I don't think I've ever done anything like that. Now, here's what I'm getting at. That guy didn't have as much power over me as what I thought. I empowered him through my fear. It's the same thing with us believers. We empower Satan by believing he has power and being afraid of him. Jesus wasn't afraid of him. Not at all. Fear's not of God. Fear brings instability. Even if we say we're not afraid of Satan, but we believe he's got power, then we are empowering him just because of what we believe. Well, let me carry on here. He said, Satan does not rule. He merely influences and deceives people into doing his bidding and submitting to his control. He lies. He deceives. On the other hand, my Son rules. His is the name above all names. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All things are under his feet, whether on earth or in the heavens, including Satan. And he demonstrated this ruling authority while on earth. But his position as eternal king is now carried out through you. So we're praying. Now listen to this. We're praying and then sitting back and waiting for him to act when he's already acted. And now what He wants to do is act through us. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. What that means is, when people see us, they will witness Jesus operating through us. We'll be witnesses unto Him. Just like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was a witness unto the Father. Likewise, we are to be witnesses unto Him. The Lord continued. He said, if Satan had as much control in the world as some Christians seem to think, how could any part of my kingdom purpose be accomplished? How could my will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Just if you just think about what Jesus said there in that prayer, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Those few words right there tell us that Satan cannot stop the will of God when it's at work. He couldn't stop us from being born again. Hey, get this. Satan couldn't stop one person from getting healed when Jesus prayed for them. Not only that, Satan could not stop one of his devils from being cast out of somebody when Jesus was casting them out. In fact, if you remember the one story, that one devil spoke up and said, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? You know what that says to me? Number one, they know who's in charge. And they also know they're going to be tormented. And Jesus says, no, I'm not here to torment you. I'm just going to cast you out. And remember the story? They said, well, okay, then can we go into the pigs? They didn't resist. They knew resistance was futile. They just said, well, can we go into the pigs? And Jesus said, yeah, go into the pigs. And then the pigs, they're smart enough to commit suicide. You know, just we don't want these devils. Let's kill ourselves. Imagine all those dead pigs floating around in the... That's gross. Really gross. Man, that's some kind of barbecue, I bet. So he says, his position as eternal king is now carried out through you. If Satan had as much control in the world as some Christians seem to think, how could any part of my kingdom purpose be accomplished? How could my will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Your authority on earth has been given to you from me, not from Satan, and not from a religious institution. If you understood more about your authority, you would understand how critical it is to develop your faith. See, the whole thing about faith and authority, they're divinely connected. And he says more about this in a moment here. Boy, listen to this next part. Your prayers should consist more of divine declarations and decrees coming from lips of royalty and hearts of faith rather than being pleased for help like someone at the mercy of an unjust judge. How many times have we prayed and it sounds like, you know, oh God, I know you don't really want to, but, you know, if you're in a good mood today, would you please do this for me? Would you please help Aunt Susie? Would you do this? Would you do that? Instead of, like he says, divine declarations and decrees. And listen to this next part. I say that a lot in these, don't I? I'm sorry. Okay, maybe these make more of an impact on me than anybody else. But here we go. He said, when is the last time you prayed as though you were in charge with all of heaven's glory standing behind you in support? Isn't that the way? That's how Jesus ministered. He knew, man. He knew. Number one, he's filled with the Holy Ghost and only with the Holy Ghost and power. And he knew. He knew that the Father was standing behind him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He also knew he had access to angels in case he needed it. Did they come to minister to him in the wilderness? And did he not say, hey, I could call down 12 legions of angels to help out if I wanted to? Thing is, I have to go to the cross. No man takes my life from me unless I yield it up. He says, you can't kill me unless I let you kill me. So let me read that again. When was the last time you prayed as though you were in charge with all of heaven's glory standing behind you in support? He says, I am currently moving through all the faith you have. I am moving through and answering all of your prayers according to my word, my will, and your faith. I am not holding back on anything. Why would I not want healed every person for whom you pray? Why would I not want people delivered the moment you pray? Well, think about it. Why wouldn't he? Do you realize how easy it would be to lead people to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior if everybody got healed the moment we prayed for them? If everybody got delivered the moment we prayed for them? I'm telling you, talk about revival. And if they didn't, you know, if they weren't impressed enough by their own miracle, then the people around them or their other family members might be impressed enough to say, tell me more. How did this happen? Say, well, you know, it's not me. I'm just a conduit. It's God moving through me. And Jesus died for you. Then I want this Jesus. He said, continued here, hear me now. You have more authority on earth than Satan has now or ever has had. You have been entrusted with heavenly authority in an earthly realm. You are my child. Do you hear me? You are a God child, birthed of my spiritual loins. Divinity is not a part of your nature, but you have been birthed of the divine. Praise God. So many of my children struggle to believe this, often calling such a thing heresy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can remember there was a time in my life if somebody had said, you're born of God, you know, you're a God child, you're not divine, but I'd have said, oh, no, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I'm just dirty old me, man. I'd be happy to live in a doghouse in the corner of heaven somewhere. You know, y'all pray for me that I make it through. You know how they do. I mean, this is a challenging thing when God just tells you who you are, even though it's there in the Word. He says, so many of my children struggle to believe this, often calling such a thing heresy. But the struggle comes from not truly understanding salvation and what the born-again experience has done for you. I have decreed your position in me and your seat of authority. It can never be taken away from you, but you can relinquish it or not live by it. However, what you do will never change what I have declared over you. The more you develop your faith, the more I can work through you, and the more prayers you will see answered. The more you develop your faith, the more you will understand your authority. The more you develop your faith and understand your authority, the more you will act and speak like the king and priest I've made you, the more you will resemble a child of the ruler and creator of all that is. Well, I like the part about my potential. I don't know how much I like the part about my living reality at this moment. I mean, really, all of this, it answers the question about, well, I don't know why they weren't healed. Well, the reason they weren't healed is because our faith's not developed to the point where it could happen. But I do have faith. Yeah, we all do, to a certain point. But according to what the Word of God has to say, I mean, Jesus Himself, when you pray, believe, you receive, and you'll have it. There's no way to get around that. He's made that promise. That has come from God. Therefore, when I pray for you, I want to see you healed. I want to see your situation changed. You know, I want to see your home ruled by peace, not by turmoil and everything else. When I say, you know, you devils of confusion and drug addiction and alcoholism, I command you get out of that home now in the name of Jesus, etc. and whatever. I mean, I want to see that. That's what it's supposed to be. And you know, parents that are dealing with kids like that, when they're in that home, and in the name of Jesus, I command all you devils, you know, just go. whatever it would be. That's what it's supposed to be. You can't control the will of another person, but you can take authority over the devils. I can't manipulate people, but I can rule and reign in this life by Christ Jesus. And when I look to Jesus as my example, worst thing I can do is say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. When He Himself said, look, if you believe, if your faith is developed the way it could be and should be, the works that I do, you shall do also. There's my potential right there. But I think what happens is, we experience, let me just kind of phrase it like this. We experience so much defeat. We pray, no answer. We pray, no answer. We become numb to the magnitude of what God has said in His Word. It's like we read it, we acknowledge it, and we agree that it's true. But there's something in us that doubts, but we don't really want to talk about those doubts. We want to speak Christianese. And say, yes, amen, that's right. We would agree that, yes, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, that's the way it is, the way it's supposed to be. One of the best things we could ever do is just get downright honest and admit, if I'm not getting the results that the Bible says I can get, then I have been lazy and I have not developed my faith the way I could. And until I do, I'm not going to see the results that I could see. And there are people out there that would say, well, not just a bunch of that hyper-faith stuff. You know what? You can go ahead and live in your own little fantasy world all you want, but the bottom line is God's Word is true and it's not going to change. And what He has said is what He has said. God has given us a revelation of our potential in Christ. So for all the people that I've prayed for, where healing hasn't manifested, and I'm, you know, praise God for the healings that manifested a couple of days later, a week later. I mean, praise God for that. But I mean, I want it to happen like Jesus, now. If you came in with pain and I prayed for you, I want you walking out with no pain. If you came in with, you know, something not working right and I prayed for you, I want you walking out with it working right. And all those people that I prayed for and that hasn't happened, you know, maybe you didn't have faith to believe. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I can gauge my walk with God by the results I'm getting. And that's the way it is for all of us. I don't want anybody to take this message tonight as a downer, but we need this kind of an eye opener to kind of, you know, shake the dust out, if you know what I mean, to get us to sit down and really evaluate our own lives. It's like God is saying, okay, look, here's your potential. Now, here's why you're not reaching that potential. And here's what you can do to reach that potential. It's totally up to you, but I'm going to love you the same either way. So, He doesn't love you more based on the number of dead people you raise or the number of blind eyes that get healed. He doesn't love you anymore. He loves you the same. Thank God. Thank God. So His love doesn't change. But when it comes to seeing His will, His works done in this world, I'm the one that needs to change. I can't blame you. And I can't blame the devil. I can only blame me. So I guess, you know, as they say, we need to man up, woman up, and just face this thing head on and deal with it. Develop our faith and see the results.